Let's read Luke 6:38. Ready? Let's read it together. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your book, and I pray that you'll help me tonight. I pray that you'll help this lesson to be a blessing to our folks. Maybe, Lord, something that we can set before us as a challenge for the new year that will soon be upon us. Pray that you'd help us to live according to your principles. It would sure make a big difference in our lives. Sure bring a lot more happiness and joy to people if we just live by your book. So help us tonight. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Christmas bells are ringing, heed its message far and near, and the people all are singing, Jesus Christ the Lord is here. Listen to the Christmas bell ring out, listen to the people sing and shout, hearken to the news this happy morn, oh glory, Christ is born. Oh, the Christmas bells a-telling blessed news of Jesus' birth. Hear the mighty praise a-swelling, bringing joy to all the earth. Oh, the Christmas bells a-greeting this sweet babe from heaven above. Come and join this happy meeting, praise the Father's gift of love. Listen to the Christmas bell ring out, listen to the people sing and shout, hearken to the news this happy morn, oh glory, Christ is born. Listen to the Christmas bell ring out, listen to the people sing and shout, hearken to the news this happy morn, oh glory, Christ is born. Oh, glory, Christ is born.
I like that. Thank you, Tony. And I've enjoyed the music this season, as always, and appreciate that good song tonight. I want to speak to you on this subject, in pursuit of elevated living. It's probably going to be a little bit different than what you would expect from this text. But I want to speak to you in pursuit of elevated living. Let's pray together. Dear God, it is a joyous thing to think about the birth of your Son. And as the angelic choir appeared in the sky and sang, Lord, Hosanna, and we certainly have lifted our voice in praise to you for the coming of the Christ child. And then, of course, beyond that, Lord, to his death on the cross, and that glorious resurrection, and now the blessed hope of his soon return. And I pray that you'll help the message tonight to be a blessing to people. May it challenge our hearts. Help us, we thank you for it and praise you for it in advance. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. If someone were to ask you for a verse from the Bible on the subject of giving, either right away or eventually, if they were to ask me or you this question, how about a verse from the Bible on the subject of giving? I think either right away or eventually, we would come to Luke 6:38. It's a very familiar verse on the subject of giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. We use that as a principle to follow when it comes to giving. If you give, then God's going to give back. Given it shall be given unto you. It's going to be a good measure. It's going to be pressed down. It's going to be shaken together, and it's going to run over. And then at the end of the verse, you have the same measure principle that is given. You give with a teaspoon, then God will give back with a teaspoon. If you learn to give with a shovel, God will give back with a shovel. If you learn to give with a scoop, God will give back with a scoop. If you learn to give with a front-end loader, God will give back with a front-end loader, because that's what the Bible says. With whatever, with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Now, all of that is good. All of that is true. I believe you can apply that whole verse to the matter of financial generosity. I think you can apply that whole verse to the matter of biblical giving. I don't think you do any in danger or destruction to the context to apply it to the matter of giving. But there is no mention of money in this verse. And there's no mention of money in this passage. None. Verse number 30 says, "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." But there's no specific or direct reference to money, even in verse number 30. And that's the only reference, the only time the word give is used, outside of that where it's used in verse number 38. Now, don't get me wrong. Many of God's people, myself included, have claimed this verse. We have practiced this verse. I believe we've benefited from the principles found in this verse when it comes to being generous financially. But the word money is never found in the entire passage. The context actually begins in verse number 20 and it ends in verse number 38. It is a part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. The companion passage, of course, is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Now, when you get down to studying that in its context, that whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught them specifically in these verses about how to deal with people and how to act in people relationships. Look at verse number 27. He says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." That has to do with people relationships. Same thing in verse number 28. "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." That's talking about people relationships. Look at verse 36. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." In the context, it's talking about people relationships. In verse 37, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." All of those have to do with people relationships. So Jesus talks in verse 27, in verse 28, in verse 36, in verse number 37. And then he says in verse number 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Give, and it shall be given unto you. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, if you give love, you will get love. If you give mercy, you will get mercy. If you bless people, people will bless you. If you practice forgiveness, people will be quick to practice forgiveness with you. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you like for people to smile at you and to be courteous and to be kind to you? Do you like that? The way to get that to happen, folks, is to smile at people and be courteous. That's the principle here. Do you like for people to be friendly? Do you like for people to be encouraging? And nobody likes to be around discouraging people. We all want to be around people that encourage us. And so if I like people to be friendly to me, if I like to be encouraged by people, then the best thing for me to do is to practice being friendly to other people, practice encouraging other people, give out friendliness, give out encouragement, give out a smile, give out kindness, give out friendliness, and guess what? Whatever you give out is what you're going to get back. That's the principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. So here is this principle. This principle is used to encourage people to give generously when it comes to finances and money, but the truth is the principle in its context is applying to us and our relationships. You probably know somebody like this. You probably have talked to somebody like this. This is their testimony. One day maybe they're just talking and they're just, you know, you're just fellowshipping over a cup of coffee, or maybe at work if you work with another Christian. Or maybe somebody at some get-together, and they start talking about, I can't believe how kind everybody is to me. People are kind to me. People treat me with a friendly spirit. Folks are courteous, and people smile, and people are nice in general. Do you know what you can probably count on about the person who is making those kind of statements to you? They are getting exactly what they have been giving. You give and it shall be given unto you. They've been giving all of that out. And by the way, vice versa. You ever talk to anybody? Nobody's kind. Nobody smiles. Everybody's unfriendly. Nobody's gracious. Everybody's just kind of rah, rah. more than likely, they're only getting what they've been giving out. You get out of life what you put into it. And this whole principle here, you know, I'd like to say this. As I go through this life, I would like to receive blessings from others. If I want to receive blessings from others, I need to get busy being a blessing to others. You can never expect to have folks be a blessing to me if I'm not going to put it on my high on the priority list to be a blessing to others. Now, here is the key thought in this passage when it comes to the way I read this thing. Jesus elevates His followers to a higher standard of people treatment. He elevates His followers to a higher standard of people treatment. Now look at verse number 31. This is a key verse in this whole context of Scripture. Look at what it says here. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. There is an absolutely important key word in that verse. The verse does not say as you hope that men. I lost my train of thought here. The key word is verse number 31 is the word would. As ye would that men do unto you, not as men do to you, but as you want men to do to you. That's the key word. That changes the whole thing. How do you want people to treat you? Do you want people to be kind to you? Do you want people to be friendly? Do you want people to be generous? Do you want people to be nice? Do you want people to smile? Do you want people to show courtesy? If that's what I want, that's what I need to give. That's the key word in that thing. You see, the normal mode of operation here is to treat people according to how they treat us. But Jesus didn't say, no. Jesus said, not so. He said, for my followers, it's going to be different. His principles elevate the people who follow Him. Folks, if Christianity does not eventually show up in our behavior, now think about this, then it's really a pretty selfish faith. If all it is to me and you is a fire escape from hell, that's pretty selfish. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the fire escape from hell. I'm not complaining about that, okay? I would not want to be separated from God forever and ever and ever, be apart from Him forever and ever and ever, and suffer in the fires and the torments and the torture of hell. And yes, I do believe it's fire, and yes, I do believe it's torment, and yes, I do believe it's forever, and yes, I do believe it's outer darkness. I believe it just as the Bible states it. Just as the Bible states it. So I'm not real... I'm pretty thrilled that salvation means we don't have to go to that awful place. But if that's all it is, that's a pretty selfish salvation. This is what I'm saying. You know, Jesus did that for us. He did save us from hell, but He also did so much more. He elevated, challenged us to an elevated standard of living, especially when it comes to people relationships. Look at what He said down in verse number 32. He says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? What have you done? For sinners also love those that love them. And the word sinners there is a reference to unsaved people. That's how unsaved people live. Unsaved people love those who love them. So if you and I live that way, what are we doing more than the unsaved? Look at verse number 33. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And he goes on here to make the same principle over and over again. It's a pretty selfish Christianity that only causes us to live like unsaved people live. That we only appreciate, the only thing we appreciate about it is that it's a fire escape from hell. I'm saying tonight that Jesus, His principles of behavior, His principles of the Christian life, elevate us, or should, to a higher standard of living, and especially in our personal one-on-one people relationships. What do you need to change? What do I need to change? And I look at 2010. I bet every one of us in this room can think of one person who treats us with ugliness, unkindness, unfriendliness. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. And if we're not careful, friend, we will settle into this mode of just accepting, you know, that that's how it's going to be. And if we're not careful, we will respond in kind to that person. And I read these scriptures and I really get challenged in my heart by the Holy Ghost that that's not how Jesus intended for us to live. These principles elevate us to a higher standard. That person who is unkind, that person who is unfriendly, that person who just really seems to dislike us, ought to become a personal challenge in my life and in your life to put into practice these principles. Try to win them through the principles that Jesus Christ established in these verses. It doesn't matter if they don't show kindness to me. I can show kindness to them. It doesn't matter if they don't smile at me. I can smile at them. I've got a neighbor like that. I've got a neighbor who refuses to wait. It's a person. It's a woman. She refuses to wait. I am, yes, in my flesh, I am tempted to be the same way. You're not going to wave at me. I'm not going to wave at you. But friend, I suggest to you and me that Christ, those kind of principles that He established here in this Sermon on the Mount, elevate us to a higher standard of living. If that's how I treat her, what have I got that the unsaved person doesn't have? I'm no better than the unsaved. If all my salvation is a fire escape from hell, if it doesn't find its way into my life, if it doesn't find its way into my people relationships, my personal relationship, if it doesn't find its way there, I am no better in my personal relationships than the unsaved. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Those who sincerely follow Him will find their personal people relationships improve to some degree because they learn to practice these principles that are established for us in this Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, can I say this tonight? This has nothing to do with being an extrovert or being an introvert, being quiet or being loud. And a lot of us will excuse ourselves because we're not extrovert. Or we're not loud, we're more quiet. Has nothing to do with that, friend. These principles of giving to others what you would like to get from others work in every case. If you're an extrovert, if you're an introvert, if you're quiet, if you're loud, it does not matter. These are principles that apply across the board. And the truth of the matter is, listen very carefully, there are hundreds of dollars spent and there are hundreds of hours invested in attempts to money paid to psychiatrists, money spent on drugs to try to help us reach out and grab happiness. And usually that unhappiness stems from a problem in a personal relationship. I know what I'm talking about. Usually that unhappiness stems from a problem in a personal relationship, and we'll dump hundreds of dollars and we'll dump hours and hours of time trying to pursue happiness in those personal relationships, all the while ignoring the plain, simple principles of God's Word, which just simply are, look, how do you want them to treat you? How do you want them to treat you? You got an obstinate family member? How do you want them to treat you? Got an obstinate friend or a person that could be a friend, should be a friend? Got a person in the church that's obstinate to you? How do you want them to treat you? However you want them to treat you is how you should dive headfirst into treating them. Not with an insincere heart either, with something sincere, trusting God. I remember years ago, and when I was out in Iowa there, Brother Brown's daughter, Joanna, there was working on a bus, and there was a girl who I don't know if she was jealous because, you know, Joanna was the pastor's daughter. Well, I don't have any idea. But the girl literally just was ugly. I mean ugly to Joanna. I mean just ugly. I mean cussed her good. Cussed her up one side, down the other. On the bus one day. And Joanna went home and shared it with her dad. And her dad sat down with her and he said, okay, Joanna. And he went through some of these principles right here found in Matthew chapter 5 and Luke chapter 6. And he said, look, the Lord told us that if you want to win somebody, how do you want them to treat you? That's how you treat them. And he said, let's do this. And Joanna Brown got busy treating that girl like she wanted that girl to treat her. And do you know that she won that girl to herself? That girl became one of her best friends. That girl became one of her close friends in that church. And I think still to this day, I don't know if that girl's still in church living for the Lord today. I don't have any idea. But I will tell you this much. She probably still has a soft spot in her heart for a young lady now named Joanna Coburnett. Because you know what Joanna did? She didn't run to a psychiatrist and she didn't run to a prescription drug. She ran to a Bible principle. And started living the Bible principle of how do you want people to treat you. That's how you treat people. Brother, when you plug in Bible principles, they work. And folks, look, when I approach I can't help it. When I come to the end of the year like this, I always start thinking about, okay, in 4 days, it's going to be a new year. What do I want to see happen? What do I want to see God do in my life in the year 2010? And I would just guarantee you, as scattered all across this auditorium are people who are suffering unhappiness from personal relationships that are not what they ought to be. Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe though you've just settled into accepting it as, you know what, if that's how they're going to treat me, that's how I'm going to treat them. They're not going to be kind to me, I'm not going to be kind to them. They're not going to be nice to me, I'm not going to be nice to them. It's not going to do it. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ laid us down some principles here in the Word of God that would elevate us to a standard of higher Christian living. I would challenge you in this new year, which is just 4 days away, I would challenge you, who at work, who in the family, who in the church family, who in your neighborhood, who is it that if you got busy practicing the principles in Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5 about personal relationships, give and it shall be given unto you. You want them to like you? Like them. You want them to love you? Love them. You want them to be kind to you? Be kind to them. You want a friendliness from them? Befriend them. You want a smile from them and a wave? Smile and wave. You keep practicing those principles, friend, and I'll promise you, God is faithful to His Word. You'll be amazed to see what God will do. You're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what you do. John Bunyan wrote this little poem. He said, there was a man in our town, some folks did think him mad. The more he gave away, the more he had. Now, we immediately associate that with money, and maybe John Bunyan wrote that about money. But I submit to you that that's true about more than just money. The man who has the most friends has them because he is the friendliest. And the man who gets the most kindness back from people is because he gives the most kindness. The more he gave away, the more he had. What do you need God to do in your life, in your heart, in 4 days in the new year when it comes to personal relationships with people? Give, it shall be given unto you. Not just money. Love, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, friendliness. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The more you give away, the more you'll have. It's a Bible principle about people relationships. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening tonight.